Hi everyone, welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Today's guests, yes, two of them, are Drs. Ortega. Mr. Ortega, or Dr. Mr. Dr. Ortega is an orthodontist, and Mrs. Ortega is a pediatrician.
Hello, Dr. Ortega, how are you? Thank you again for all your time that you're taking out of your day and the effort you're putting into this. Thank you. The first series of questions all have to do with like your journeys from high school to where you are today. So could both of you just briefly talk about what you're thinking about in high school, like in terms of majoring in and how you eventually ended up on the path of medicine?
All right. So mine was a pretty circuitous route. In high school, I don't actually think I had any idea what I wanted to do. I was always a good student, but I also liked performing arts. I played cello and was in the musicals. And then I went to college at University of California in Santa Barbara. And I really didn't know what I wanted to major in. I took lots of different courses. And then I really enjoyed anthropology. So I ended up choosing to major in physical anthropology. That was actually after I had initially wanted to major in art. So I was thinking I wanted to potentially be a photographer. So I took a lot of art classes, and I kind of realized that even though I really enjoyed photography, that I didn't necessarily enjoy all of the arts as much. So to be an art major was not really what I wanted to do. So I majored in physical anthropology. And then for that major, I ended up having to take gross anatomy, which I was kind of dreading initially, but I actually really loved it. And then my senior year, the college introduced a new minor in sports and exercise science, which I'd always been really interested in nutrition and exercise. So I decided to take those classes, and I really loved those classes. So that was the end of my senior year that I was like, uh-oh, I really like these classes a lot. What could I do that would involve like continued study in these sort of disciplines? And I kind of figured out that that would probably be something in medicine. So at that point, I guess that was my junior year. So that year, at that point, I still had a year of college left. So I decided, because I had taken no pre-medical school classes, and I actually had a job arranged for me in Japan for the year after I graduated. So my senior year, I took all of the classes to finish my major in physical anthropology, all of the classes to finish my minor in sports and exercise science. I took Japanese so that I could actually speak the language of the country I was going to move to. And because I had taken no other science courses, I took general chemistry with freshmen. And so I took general chemistry and I absolutely loved it. And so it was kind of a funny discovery for me, because I had kind of focused on arts and anthropology and all of the, what would you call it, more liberal arts sort of classes. And senior year took general chemistry and I was like, this is amazing. I love it. I went ahead and moved to Japan and I worked there for a year. And I figured that if after a year of, I taught junior high school English there, I figured that if after a year I was still interested in medicine, that then I would go ahead and come back and pursue all of the other courses I had to take. So I brought a physics book with me to Japan. And in my free time, I taught myself physics, and because that was kind of the class that I thought that I would dread the most. And I actually really loved it. So I taught myself physics, which helped when I came back. And I decided that I still wanted to pursue that. So after my year in Japan, I came back and I did another year of college at San Diego State University. And that year I took physics lab, organic chemistry lab, biology lab, and calculus, which is not the most fun here. It was a lot of work, but again, I really enjoyed the classes and I did well. And then I had to take sort of another year, because it kind of takes a whole year to apply for medical school. So I took another year, and while I applied to med school and took the MCAT and all that, I worked as a physical therapy assistant, and I taught Kaplan courses for MCAT and SAT and GRE and all those things while I applied. And then I applied to med school and got in and met this guy. So it was a very roundabout path. In other words, it was not your typical pre-med path.
Nor was mine. So in high school, I always gravitated towards the sciences. I always loved the sciences. Spent a lot of time on various athletic fields and a lot of time in the training room, you know, as a result of getting beat up or sore from some of those contests or whatnot. So I always thought I wanted to go into medicine of some sort. So got to college and actually the summer before I started my freshman year, I worked at an investment advising firm in Fort Worth. And once I got to college, I kind of fell off the four-year track, I guess, for the pre-meds. So I didn't start taking all the biologies and all the sciences my freshman year because I thought, well, maybe there's some courses that I need to be exposed to that I might like, including economics and other biological or chemical sciences. And because that I kind of fell off the typical path of the pre-meds, which is actually probably in hindsight, a great thing that happened because I explored other things and realized that I wanted to continue down the medical route. And I ended up majoring in geology mainly because I had an awesome geology teacher in high school that really made all of that fun and exciting. And when it came time to declaring a major, I thought either biology or geology. And with geology, I could do a paleobiology concentration. So I combined both of those things that I kind of really liked and enjoyed. I had to do some research in college that I studied some fossil teeth and jaws of an extinct South American mammal. So that kind of planted the seed of concentrating my studies, I suppose, in the head and neck. And then once I graduated from college, I still had organic chemistry and physics to finish. And so I came back home to Dallas and joined the AmeriCorps. So I was out in kind of San Diego, the western part of the United States for about 10, 11 months doing community service. I thought I didn't want coming right out of college. That felt like a long time to be going straight into med school for 4 years and then straight into residency and straight into whatever else it took me to. And then I kind of picture myself waking up one day and realizing, ooh, dude, I'm old and what happened to my time? So I had considered the Peace Corps. That seemed like it was way too long to do. And then I remember getting a random mass mailing in my mailbox in my senior year in college about the AmeriCorps. So that's how I got introduced to it. I guess it was only 4 years old or 3 years old at the time. So I did community service for a year and traveled around and saw some really cool things and made great friends. So because of that, when I was in the AmeriCorps, one of my friends there had told me that he was going into dental school. And I remember asking him why, because it had never even crossed my mind. And so I kind of planted another seed in my head about maybe changing careers. Career paths, I suppose. I came back home. I talked to my dentist and basically he told me a lot of the good things, a lot of the bad things. And after evaluating everything, I realized, you know what? I think I want to go to dental school. And so I finished up organic chemistry and physics and then had another year to kill. I did some traveling. I did some tutoring at my high school as well and got to study for the DCAT as well to apply for schools and got in and met her. and the rest is kind of history. So that's when our paths combined. And then more adventures after that.
Thank you for sharing those interesting stories. And both of you guys connected at the end, like met her. That was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because you know we both had similar interests, but I think never necessarily had a straight path. And it's not necessarily a straight path necessarily all the time that takes you there. It's following what's interesting to you, mm-hmm. following what excites you and getting you to where you want to be.
So you mentioned like not taking the straight path. Could you both talk a little bit more about like some of the perspectives that not studying only biology in your undergraduates has brought you to your like maybe med school or nowadays, like your daily experiences?
I think for me, first of all, I really found that college was a great time to learn all different kinds of things. So I actually got a very strange award from, I got an award for like having the most diverse study in my college. In other words, I took like tons of geology, tons of art history, military science, all of these things. So I think that had I been more focused and single-minded and done the pre-med track, I don't know that I would have enjoyed college as much. And I don't know that if I would have learned the kind of array of things that I learned. So mm-hmm. I think it's important to have sort of a broad perspective rather than, I mean, everybody's different, but for me, that was important to have sort of a wide experience to draw from in my life. Mm-hmm. And because I think for me in particular, if you think about the left and right side of your brains, the more analytical and the more creative, I feel like medicine is very much left-brained, analytical, problem-solving based, but my brain is very split in half. So I don't know that I would have been happy only feeding that side of my brain. So I always kind of had to have a little more creative and artistic and different ways of thinking in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good release that way, I think. I remember my second semester senior year in college when we were all, you know, stressed out with having to write our senior theses at that time. I remember waking up, you know, day after day when it was crunch time and having to pump out the research and being excited about it and looking forward to getting all the ideas and everything and the research on Excel or spreadsheets or writing it up or whatever. And I remember contrasting that with some of my friends who had said that their projects they had chosen basically because it was as quick and easy that they felt as possible, which I thought was kind of a shame, I suppose, but I wouldn't want to have had that experience, you know? So looking back on it, it was because I, you know, was trying to find something that I was excited about or interested about and helped to kind of shape some of those interests unknown to me at the time, you know. It was so I'm thankful for not having had a direct path and rather kind of, you know, not necessarily wandering, but bouncing, I suppose, from interest to interest. Yeah. And I think another part too, as a provider, it also helps to relate to all sorts of people. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the fun part too. Mm-hmm. You could talk a little bit about most subjects, I suppose, you know, and I think that's helpful when trying to connect with somebody, especially if they're scared, concerned, or frightened, you know, kids and adults alike.
Yeah, that's a great point. You both also mentioned the DCAT and the MCAT in your earlier anecdotes. How did you prepare for those? And did you view those as sort of like you spent all of your time studying for that? Or was that just something that was more sort of like you just reinforced it like every day, not sort of like you set aside like a block of time, like a week or a couple of weeks just to study for that? Like, how did you guys approach that? Because you had like a non-traditional, like after college taking those tests. So
I took a Kaplan course first, which is how I ended up ultimately getting a job there. And I thought that was very helpful because they basically kind of had, I did classes at night. And so I studied for the MCAT the year that I was working. So I mean, I had a job all day, so I would just study at night and on the weekends and kind of like the slow and steady approach. I used the Kaplan materials to kind of help guide me. And I think, again, because, you know, I was working and I wasn't as pressured in school, it was kind of fun, really, studying mm-hmm. for it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I was kind of similar in the sense that it was one of the years where I didn't have a lot going on, which was nice. So, you know, I was had already finished all my prerequisites. So I was done with full-time school. I was doing tutoring. So my schedule was a lot more open and I could focus on it. And it was probably a good thing because, I mean, some of those classes I hadn't had in like 6 years. So it was like, I remember some of the biology going over. I was like, yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar, but it's been a little while, you know? So it took some time and it was really important to focus, not only so much the material, but of course those classes are great with test-taking strategies. And after you've seen a lot of those questions time and time again, then, you know, you kind of get the hang of it. So yeah, if I had some advice to give about taking those courses, I think it would be important to do it when you have more free time so you can focus on them and really work on those, well, the problem sets or whatever they had for you at the time, the extra tests and things like that to really go over.
This next series of questions is more about like looking back from now, if there was anything you could change that you were doing in high school or in college, is there anything that you could go back, if you could go back, that you would do differently? Any certain advice, or not necessarily that you would do differently, but something maybe that you did that you would recommend to others, like aside from the exploration, because you already like touched upon that.
I would highly recommend to take time off. Take time off from the study, take time off from the schedule and explore. Because there's this pressure, I think, for most of your running mates or colleagues or whoever you are, your classmates or wherever you are in this whole, you know, trajectory where you go straight from basically birth to school to college to med school and residency. And like I had alluded to before, sometimes you stop and you're like, where's all this time going? You know, and once you typically get those professional degrees, then you have loans to start paying for, maybe a family, maybe a mortgage, maybe all of it. And so there is very hard time to break away and just go do you. And so I think anywhere between high school and college, or maybe college and med school or dental school, whatever, take some time off. You know, I think there's a lot of opportunities out there. You don't have to be making a whole lot of money to travel the world and have a great time doing it. And I think exploring and seeing what's out there is huge. And I think it'll make you a much more competitive applicant as well. And again, being able to relate to more of your patients, you know, from all walks of life, from all nationalities or religions or whatever it is. But most importantly, because you're never going to have that free time again, probably.
Yeah, I would echo that. I spent my junior year in college in Indonesia, and I loved it so much I met somebody in Thailand who had the job in Japan, and I was like, I'm going to apply for that. And so I ended up living for a year in Japan after college. And all of your applications for graduate school, medical school, all that's going to be there. It can wait. None of it's going anywhere. So I think, yeah, taking that time when you can is good, because like you said, once you get out, you're kind of in this tread. I mean, you can always get out. You can always do what you want to do, but it gets harder if you have loans and expectations. And also, you know, when you are leaving, say, a residency program, you're going to probably want to practice your kind of medicine pretty much straight away, because it's already very intimidating to move from being a learner as a resident to being an attending physician where you're making decisions, taking care of patients by yourself. So that's not going to be a time where you're going to take time off. You're going to jump right into your career. And once you're in your career, it gets harder to step away.
No, completely. You can tell that we kind of share similar values, I suppose, and interests and passions, I suppose, with wanderlust and loving to travel. And again, once you get, start growing roots in where your career and your family, it makes it very, very difficult to take time off. But we did make that commitment to ourselves and our family, even in our adult lives, because we both just got back, I guess, in March from a 6-month sabbatical that we committed to about 3 or 4 years ago, pre-COVID, that we wanted to spend some time with our family And so we packed ourselves up in an RV or a trailer and traveled around the country for 6 months, having to put both of our careers kind of on ice and in various ways to make sure that those were taken care of and nurtured. I have a private practice, so I had to do lots of things in order to make sure that that was taken care of and happened to also be at a time where the world was shutting down and lots of other stresses involved with that. But I think if you're committed to taking some of that time off and to some extent, it almost felt like a break from the world with everything, you know, that you can do it. It's just a matter of sometimes making slightly more difficult decisions and planning and to some extent sacrifices. Mm-hmm. But just because you get started with a career doesn't mean it's all downhill from there. And we almost sounded doom and gloom when we were talking about it. But at least, you know, that you trade different types of stresses, I suppose, when you actually finally get through school and you start the career. You feel like once you get there, you're on that treadmill, you're like, once I graduate, everything's gonna be great. And it usually is, but it's a different kind of stress. It's a different kind of, you know, part of life, phase of life.
That's a great point. I mean, it's good to take some time off, like you said, when you can, instead of just like always chasing after like one goal. And then once you reach the end of that, then another one piles on top of that. So yeah. Mm-hmm. This next question is sort of like relating to like which colleges you went to. So does it matter in medicine, like since you both have private practices, does it matter like college reputation to your daily role as it would in like in a standard, I don't know, financial job where like the college you went to really impacts like what job you get into or you get hired for right out of college? Do you feel that also applies to medicine, or is it more liberal in that area?
Definitely, I don't think it applies to what job you ultimately get, because, you know, and now I help hire other physicians in my group, and for the most part, as long as it's a college, I don't really care what college you went to. Now, getting into medical school or into dental school, I think there potentially is a difference. I think, you know, AJ and I have two very different experiences. I went to University of California, Santa Barbara, which at the time I went to it was a good school. It was, you know, it's in the University of California system. I think now it's actually a very good school and hard to get into. At the time I went, it was, I would say, middle tier of the University of California system, and it's a huge school. I did well there, and I think that having, you know, studied abroad and done all of the more interesting things that I did do, and having done well in a large variety of classes, helped me to get into medical school, because overall, I was a person who had an interesting resume and did well at my school. I don't think that I stood on the shoulders of my school's name to get into med school, but I.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all things being equal, I think it's a tiebreaker with applicants being so competitive with everything. I think it can be a tiebreaker. I don't think it's necessarily though a deal breaker, you know? So I think that's probably the best way I can describe it.
This next set of questions jumps into more like the present instead of talking a lot about the past. So could you both briefly talk about a typical work day or work week, some of your daily responsibilities and your favorite and least favorite aspects of your job?
So I'm a private practice orthodontist. I've been in practice by myself for 11 years now, a little over 11 years. I had some experience with, I guess, leadership in the Navy when I was graduated from college. Actually, coming out of high school, I was thinking I want to go to the service academies, Navy or Army, and started looking into that, and decided once I went to the Joint Reserve Base over here in Fort Worth for my first visit or physical and saw everybody walking around saluting each other, I kind of got a little freaked out, to be perfectly honest. And I thought, you know what, not right now. I don't know if I can do the military quite yet. So I'd always had that interest. And it wasn't until college that one of my friends, I guess the military can do it or has scholarships for medical school and dental school. And then they will pay for pretty much everything, room and board included during your time. And then you owe a few years of service afterwards. So in my time, I had 4 years of service back to the Navy, and I was fortunate to have had some leadership opportunities there of running practices and small clinics and things like that. So I got some real world experience, but it's a lot different in the military world than it is in the civilian world. And so starting a practice and coming right out of residency, I felt like I could start my own practice and, you know, felt comfortable at least doing some of my basic business skills. But it's hard to be out on your own, you know, as much as it is to be, it's nice to be able to call the shots and be the boss. All decisions ultimately rest on your shoulders, right? You have an aspect of wanting to take care of not only just your patients, but also your team, your staff, and to some extent, even their families. You feel like there's a certain responsibility to provide for them and make sure that the business is doing well enough to help them meet their life goals. And then you also have your own personal, your own family that you got to make sure you're taking care of. And so, you know, dealing with those aspects can be fun, can be exciting, can also be very stressful. Perfect example is when everything shut down with COVID. I had a team that now suddenly I had to figure out how can I research all of these things that's going on that nobody else has experienced right now. And the government is trying to come up with ways to save families. How do I find that money for them to be able to pay their bills and help them manage all those things? So that was just hopefully just a one-off in this whole, adventure. But the team aspect is fun, you know, especially when you are able to hire new, young assistants who come in and you get to teach them a lot. It's a great opportunity to teach. Or thinking they know something that they learned in their school, and then realizing that what I can teach them is different, and hopefully more fun to some extent, and makes them more confident and ultimately more competitive. If and when they leave my office for whatever reason, that they will have some better understanding to make them even more competitive in the future at their next office. Hardest parts is, I guess, motivating everybody to try and all pull in the same direction. Everybody comes to work every morning and, you know, you don't know what's going on in their lives. Sometimes trying to get everybody to, you know, share the same value set as well on how you treat people, you know, is also comes with, I guess, building a culture where that's what you talk about and that's what you, you know, focus on. One of the hardest parts is many times dealing with people, to be perfectly honest. You have certain financial responsibilities. Sometimes patients can't pay, you know, which is always hard, which is always sad. I guess fortunately in my line of work with orthodontics, sometimes we're able to give it pro bono or give it for free or write off the account. Other times we have to sit down and have conversations with patients saying, well, maybe not now is not the right time for treatment, and assure the parent or adult that by not doing treatment now, you're not going to do irreparable harm to yourself or your kid at this point, and trying to coach and teach them to educate them with certain things. But it's fun to see growth. It's fun to see growth and seeing, you know, your business reviewed well on Yelp or Google reviews or whatever it is, and people come find you because their friends were saying good things about the thing that you built is a great feeling. You know, when somebody writes a bad review, then it sometimes it feels like a gut punch, especially if you feel like it's a completely unfair review, you know, or inaccurate, or you felt like we did everything we could for that person. They still felt that they were slighted and try and tell the rest of the world what an evil person you are. That's kind of a hard part, but yeah, there's good and bad, I guess.
So my job is I'm a pediatric hospitalist. So I'm a pediatrician who takes care of kids who are in the hospital sick. The thing about being a hospitalist, whether it's for kids, adults, OB, what have you, is that the hospital is open 24/7, 365. So it's basically you're going to be working days, you're going to be working nights, you're going to be working weekends, you're going to be working holidays. So my schedule each day and each week looks really different. It's not a 9-to-5. It's not a Monday through Friday. So I can't even describe for you what my average week looks like. I can tell you I'm going to work tonight at 5. So my job description is sort of, you know, I get to the hospital and I'm going to take over a certain panel of patients. And whoever the doctor is that has been taking care of those patients either the night before or the day before hands them off to me and tells me all about them, you know, what's going on with them, what they need, what the plan of care is, and, you know, if they are close to being discharged or what have you. And then what I'll do is I'll sort of sit down and have some computer time at the beginning of my shift, and I'll look over all of the vital signs, the lab values, nursing comments, et cetera. And I'll sort of formulate in my head before I even see the kid and the parent what my plan of care is. So am I going to try to stop the IV fluids on this kid? Because I think that now is the time that they should be able to start taking liquids by mouth and we're going to move towards discharge. Or, you know, what labs am I going to send based on the values that just came back, et cetera. So after I kind of review all of the patients, then I visit them one by one and I do an exam. And probably the most important part of my job is actually talking to the child and their family and explaining what I believe is going on with their kid and explaining to them my line of reasoning and the options for treatment and what treatment I think is the best treatment. That is the most important part of my job. And for me, probably the most rewarding part of my job is that communication with the patient and their family, because you can imagine that when kids are in the hospital and in pain or sick, they're scared. And even more than that, their parents are very, very scared. And so I see sick kids all the time. So sick kids don't scare me. And I think it's helpful. Sometimes they do, but not most of the time they don't. And I think it's very helpful to have somebody with experience saying, hey, I think I know what's going on with your kiddo. And I've seen this before. And this is what we can do to help your kiddo. And he or she's going to do okay. Like just that sense of relief. That's probably the best part of my job, is being able to comfort people in a really hard time in their life. And then, you know, after I examine the kid and talk with the parents, then I go ahead and, you know, go through with my plan, whether it sticks to what I originally thought, or maybe it's a little different based on, you know, talking to the parents and getting their input, talking to the patient, examining them. I might change my plan of care. And then I'll put in orders. And then a big part of being any sort of doctor is documentation. So we have to basically write down everything that we do and our line of thinking. So it is a lot of time that you spend on the computer. It's not all spent with patients. And sometimes that's a bit of a frustration, is how much time we actually spend just writing down what we do rather than doing what we do. But yeah, I think the best part of my job is that communication and being able to help people in a hard time. As far as most difficult or things I like least, again, as a hospitalist, you're going to work days, nights, weekends, etc. The nighttime work is actually very interesting. It's a little bit slower usually. And it's really when, you know, kids are coming into the hospital and you're seeing them for the first time and you're deciding, hey, what does this kid have? Why are they sick? What is our first step here? It's a very interesting part of medicine. I think working night shifts is hard for me. And that is probably my less favorite thing, is basically just sleep deprivation, because I think that there are some people who are really good at sleep deprivation or handle it really well. And I've never been that way. I'm a person who really likes her sleep. So I struggled with that during residency, and I still struggle with night shifts now. I also have about 30% of my job is administrative work. And that can be very rewarding in that I'm part of sort of the larger system of, you know, deciding how our program is run or how our program fits into the greater hospital system. And for the most part, that can be pretty interesting and enjoyable. Some of that is occasionally a little bit tedious as well. And, you know, just sort of dealing with anything administrative is a little bit slower than, you know, any of us kind of want. There's a lot of meetings involved in making small changes, especially in a large hospital system. So,
yeah. And one of the things that I like the contrast between our two careers is the employee versus the owner aspect of this whole thing. You know, there are definitely times where I'm jealous of her, where she clocks out when she gets, when she leaves the hospital, she's done. You know, and then for as the owner, you know, you're never off. You're never really off. You know, you're always, you know, concerned or thinking about it or wondering how to, or thinking of ways to improve it or work on the maintenance or the IT aspect of the business. And so not only just the your team, but also the business part, as well as the capital expenses too. So that's, you know, but it also comes with other privileges too, you know? So at this point in my career, I can't really imagine, you know, wanting to be an employee. I like having that flexibility, being able to make some decisions. But at the same time, I look at when Lauren comes home and she has more time sometimes to be able to do those crafts and work on the other side of her brain than I might. So, you know.
And I think that's something that people need to consider going into, especially medicine, is owner versus employee, and also inpatient versus outpatient, or maybe I should say shift work as opposed to patient population work. So a lot of my friends are outpatient pediatricians, and they work in offices, you know, probably similar to the pediatrician you've seen your whole life, where you go in and you, for your well visit or your sick visit, your vaccines, etc. And although, so their schedule is more, you know, say, well, I was going to say 9 to 5, it's more probably like 8 to 6, Monday through Friday. But when they leave at 6 p.m. and you have a lab that was sent that day, you're still on that person's mind because nobody's taking over for them, right? So if you see a sick kid in your office and you send that kid home because they don't need to be hospitalized, they don't need to go to the ER, but you're going to go home and you're going to worry about that kid because they're at home with their parents and there's no other physician or practitioner watching that child. I like shift work. So the downside of shift work is that it's day, it's night, it's weekend, it's holiday. But the great part is when I leave at 5, I'm passing everything off to the doctor who starts at 5. So when I walk away, I know that my patients are being cared for by one of my colleagues that I trust. So, you know, that's similar to hospitalist medicine and also ER work. When an ER doctor leaves their shift, all of their patients get passed to the next doctor. So I think that's something that you need to consider when you choose a profession within medicine, as to, you know, what's going to weigh out. For me, I'd rather work nights and weekends and holidays, but when I'm off, I'm off. Then have sort of a more typical schedule, but maybe in the back of my head, I'm thinking about stuff. So
yeah, and I think that's a good point, because when you're starting to go through it, or you're applying to schools or residencies, you don't quite think about that. And the other part that's intimately related to that is quality of life. What is it that you want in life? If you're wanting to make as much money as you can as quickly as you can, then, you know, medicine is not the way to go. It's a good quality of life, I think, either medicine or dental. I think that job security is always going to be there as well. But I think quality of life is what you need to figure out and balance, because, you know, depending on where in medicine you go, or even dental, you know, you can potentially be having a lot more work than you can life, you know, and you just got to figure out what's important to you. And the more you can research that ahead of time and what a daily schedule is like, the better. And I tell some of my patients who are thinking about going into medicine or whatever it is, like, make sure you spend a lot of time in the office, see what every day is like, not just the fun parts that you're interested in. Mostly it's, you know, going in the operating room or things like that, because that's only just a small bit of what, you know, the surgeons are doing. You know, you got to see what it's like day in, day out. And also what happens after hours or weekends. You know, you can have time to do whatever you want to do, whether it's ride bikes or spend time with your family or go fish or whatever hobbies you have, are you going to have that time available? Because that's a huge part of life.
Yep. And I think my biggest piece of advice for anyone thinking about a career in medicine is really dig deep and see why are you doing this? Why are you interested? Because like AJ said, if it's for the money, it's not worth it. And not to say that you won't have a good living, but you're going to give up a lot. You're going to give up, you know, medical school is hard. Residency is hard. And if it's something that you're passionate about and you enjoy, it's well worth it. There's nothing I would rather do. I am glad that I gave up that time. I am glad that, you know, I probably didn't have as fun weekends as many of my non-medical peers because I was studying and, you know, I had a lot more sleep deprivation, et cetera. But I am glad that I do what I do because when I go to work, I like my work. But honestly, if someone externally is pressuring you into a certain career, if you're doing it for money, if you're not doing it because you think you're really going to get joy and satisfaction from it, think of something else because you can probably have a good living, make good money, and maybe not give up as much of your youth with another career. So it's not to say don't do it, but it's to say do it. Make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And if you get into it and you realize that you got into it for the wrong reason and you don't love it, get out because life is too short. You only have one to live and you want your every day to be enjoyable. I mean, it's never going to be like, yay, I get to go to work. I'm so excited. But you should sort of feel a little like that. And when you come home, you should feel like, hey, I did something important and I actually enjoyed it. And I wasn't like staring at the clock the whole time, wishing I wasn't here because you're going to spend a lot of your time working in your life. So make sure you like it.
No, I echo that too. I wish a lot of the pre-med curriculum maybe spent more time on happiness. The key to life is having options. You know, you work really, really hard, high school, college, on. The key is having options. You know, if you only have one career or one option, doesn't really make you happy. You know, if you have the options of being able to do various things or go to various schools or do what you want with your week or your day or whatever, then having those options is the key, you know.
Thank you both for taking time to answer all of those questions. And especially that last answer at the end was very, very deep and very meaningful. So thank you for that.
And also, I guess, just as a woman, I would say and this is true for both women and men, but whatever career you choose, go ahead and live your life while you're doing it. So we met our first year in med school and dental school, and we got married in between our third and our fourth year. I mean, that's not the easiest time in life, but we're like, hey, we want to get married. And then, you know, I was in my residency and AJ came back from his deployment and we're like, we kind of want to have a kid and I'm in residency. That's pretty intimidating. We went ahead and had a kid and we have a great kid and it was a little hard, but there's never a perfect time to do the important things in your life. So I would encourage people just to go ahead and live your life and arrange your work however that needs to happen around your life, because you'll never regret, you know, traveling, getting married, having kids, and basically having life outside of work. So go ahead and do it.
and to piggyback on that too, when you're actually applying to schools and or residencies, depending on where you are in your life, ask some of the students on, I guess, the perceptions of the current students on how the faculty or staff feel about having kids while you're in those schools or residencies. Not everybody is as accommodating to their students having families.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you again.
Cool. Sounds good. All right.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your time with this podcast. I really appreciate it. please be sure to check out pathfinder101.com for more content like this. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.